Stay tuned for one of the most unusual and fascinating hours you'll ever hear. The subject is UFOs. Welcome to the Paranet UFO Continuum, a one-hour program dedicated to a very strange phenomena, unidentified flying objects. Whether or not you believe UFOs exist, the controversy is real, and this program will try to get to the bottom of it. Your host is Michael Corbin, director of Paranet Information Services, a global communications network based near Denver, Colorado, dedicated to the investigation of UFOs. We invite you to keep an open mind as we discuss one of the most fascinating and strange subjects in the world. Here's your host, Michael Corbin.
And good evening. In a field of high strangeness, theories of the origin of UFOs are about as numerous as the stars. But tonight, my guest is going to discuss a very interesting theory which claims that aliens have been coming to this Earth for literally thousands of years and are not the strangers that we might think. He has published a book, Alien Identities, which demonstrates the parallel between modern UFO reports and ancient Vedic texts, which originate in India. For thousands of years, these stories have held apparent technological secrets, only recently being discovered as experts begin working on the translation of these ancient texts. My guest will discuss several aspects of UFO contact reports, including close encounters and abductions. We will get fresh insights into the identity and purposes of the mysterious UFO visitors. But first tonight, we're going to do some news from the Paranet Information Service International Computer Network. First of all, Leonard Stringfield has been given the Isabel Davis Award by the Fund for UFO Research. They announced this the other day. With that comes a check for $1,000. Stringfield has authored two UFO books and numerous reports on crash retrieval cases, two of the most recent, Search for Proof in a Hall of Mirrors and The Inner Sanctum. Those are both available from the Fund for UFO Research. The Isabel Davis Memorial Award was established in 1986 to recognize long-term accomplishments and excellence in promoting rational inquiry into reported UFO sightings and related phenomena. And we want to send our congratulations to Leonard Stringfield. Len has been a longtime veteran of the UFO research community. He has done a lot of work toward crash retrievals, and he's written several papers on that. And we'll try to get him on the program sometime to talk about that. So congratulations to Len Stringfield. Okay, I thought you might want to know, November 20th, last month, a group in Wisconsin met with Donald Schmidt. And this report comes from a fellow named Stephen Johnson on the Paranet Information Services Network. Basically, he was able to get some candid comments from Don Schmidt regarding the recent Air Force release of Project Mogul as the explanation for what crashed in Roswell in 1947. Anyway, part of the report is details a lot of these different things, and I thought I'd update you on a couple of things that were discussed. And this comes from Don Schmidt again, who is the co-author of The Truth About the UFO Crash at Roswell. Apparently, the Showtime Roswell movie will be coming out in a videotape in January, and then it's supposed to be broadcast on network TV in the spring. Steven Spielberg rumors continue concerning Roswell. Schmidt mentioned that he continues to hear more and more unconfirmed reports that Spielberg may be interested in producing his own version of the Roswell incident. One hot theory suggests Spielberg might like to debut the speculated Roswell production in major theaters in July 1997 to mark the 50th anniversary of the legendary incident. Again, this remains an unconfirmed rumor, though Mr. Schmidt did say that he would give us an exclusive whenever we get the information about it. Sheridan Cabot recently was part of the Project Mogul investigation by the Air Force. As you may remember, Sheridan Cabot did say that it was just a weather balloon. He was the intelligence officer that accompanied Major Marcel out there to the debris site. According to Randall and Schmidt, though, they claim that the tapes that they have of personal testimony from Sheridan Cabot completely conflicts with what he is now currently saying to the Air Force. They've also discovered a major Air Force mistake in researching the historical documentation. Apparently, the Air Force reportedly apparently never bothered to check the meteorological records on the days the secret Mogul balloon project launches were alleged to have been executed. Randall and Schmidt checked all balloon launch dates in question and discovered that the wind patterns, particularly relating to the jet stream, could not have carried the balloons to the crash site based on where the launchings were executed. It gets better than that. According to Schmidt, they have the original launch logs of all the Mogul flights and the most likely launches to fit the crash theory, number 9 or number 4, had been scrubbed. They never flew. Even the flight director, Charles Moore, said it couldn't have been Project Mogul. According to Schmidt, the Air Force report has made a major blunder by going out on a limb, theorizing the Roswell crash was due to a Mogul balloon flight. And let's see if there's anything else we can update you on. Okay, apparently there is a new witness that has been discovered that collaborates what Mac Brazel tells about. Don Schmidt said that they have uncovered a new witness who claims that Mac Brazel apparently showed signs of having been threatened to keep quiet about the incident. The witness described Mac Brazel almost 20 years afterwards that, quote, Brazel turned stone white, end quote, that he could clearly see Mac was a broken man and that he behaved defeated and not like his normal self when the Roswell incident was specifically brought up. Brazel was quoted to have said, quote, those people, referring to the military, will kill you, end quote. Brazel was also alleged to have said that he treasured his life too much to ever say anything about it, a conviction he kept to his grave. The new witness's description collaborates what Brazel's family has already stated and continues to bring forth the question of why such strong-arm tactics were necessary simply to cover up a crashed balloon. The new witness also mentioned that Mac suddenly had a new pickup truck, which nobody could figure out how he could have afforded, the implication being that the government used the carrot-and-stick approach on Brazel. Other new witnesses also confirmed that the government had physically grabbed and kept Mac in incommunicado for a whole week during the incident. Of course, we've already known that that did occur and that he was very unhappy about that. Okay, we'll move on to our guest tonight. My guest holds a Ph.D. in mathematics from Cornell University. He is the author of 5 books and 4 videos, Science and Philosophy. He brings 2 kinds of expertise to the field of UFO investigations. The first is 20 years of scientific research and publishing in fields ranging from mathematical biology to NASA-funded work in satellite remote sensing. The second is a long and deep acquaintance with the cosmological literature of ancient India's Vedic culture. It is my pleasure to welcome Dr. Richard Thompson, author of Alien Alien Identities. Good evening, Richard.
Good evening.
Thank you for being on the program with us. We're going to go to break here pretty quick, but I wanted to ask you, the first question I had for you was, what prompted you to write this book?
Well, I had been working on a study of Vedic cosmology. That's the ancient Sanskrit description of the universe and the different planetary systems and the inhabitants of these different systems. And while working on that, I happened to run across some of the books of, for example, Bud Hopkins and Whitley Strieber.
The abduction research.
About the UFO abduction phenomenon. And I was amazed to see that some of the beings that they were describing and the particular behaviors and modes of activity of these beings showed strong parallels with certain things that I was studying in the ancient Sanskrit texts.
Okay. All right, we're going to go to break, so hold that over, and we'll talk about that when we come back. 1-800-836-2009, 1-800-UFO-2009. My guest is Richard L. Thompson. He's the author of Alien Identities. And when we come back, we're going to hear about the ancient scripts, the ancient Sanskrit scripts, that seem to have a familiar tone to them with modern UFO research. So stay tuned. I'm Michael Corbin, and you're listening to the Paranet UFO Continuum. We'll be right back.
The Paranet UFO Continuum is pleased to offer a number of exciting products. Cassette tapes of previous shows are available for $8 each, or 2 for $12, or 4 for $20. You can also order Paranet memberships and subscriptions to Continuum, Paranet's quarterly newsletter. Paranet, along with MICAP, the Multinational Investigations Cooperative on Aerial Phenomena, is pleased to offer a stunning black t-shirt with a background of galaxies, stars, and comets, and the Paranet and MICAP logos, along with the beautiful blue-green planet Earth. When you order from Paranet, you're helping to keep this program on the air. Call now to place an order or to get more information at 1-800-UFO-NET-1. That's 1-800-UFO-6381. Paranet, your window on the universe at 1-800-UFO-6381.
She by the chocolate frosting, he by the jumbo straws. Their eyes met, they drew closer. She spoke, "Excuse me, do you know where the garbanzo beans are?" "Yes," he said, "let me take you there." And they floated down the aisle. "Garbanzo beans," he said, handing them to her. "No," she said, "first, the label." He looked at her with a question in his eyes. So she told him about products that were being made from paper, plastic, metal, and glass that she'd been recycling, and how recycling keeps working only when she buys products that say made from recycled materials. Oh, how she cared for the earth, and how he cared for her. "Your number," he said. "May I call you?" She smiled. "Just call 1-800-CALL-EDF. Ask for a free brochure on buying recycled."
This message from the Ad Council, the U.S. EPA, and the Environmental Defense Fund.
You're listening to one of the most unusual programs you'll ever hear. It's the Paranet UFO Continuum, and it deals with one of the most fascinating subjects around. Once again, here's your host, the Director of Paranet Information Services, Michael Corbin.
And before we went to break, I wanted to mention, too, for our Denver listeners, the Multinational Investigations Cooperative on Aerial Phenomena, MICAP, will be holding its monthly meeting on Thursday night, December the 8th at 7:30 p.m., it's a meeting that a lot of the local Denver population like to attend. And if you're interested in finding out where it is, give them a call at 429-2654. That's 429-2654. My guest is Richard Thompson. He's the author of a book called Alien Identities. And I have read this book. It's very, very interesting. Matter of fact, I consider it to be almost a reference text. And Richard, back to you on this ancient Sanskrit text now. First of all, how old are these texts?
According to the traditions in India, the texts that I'm referring to date back about 5,000 years to the beginning of what is called the Kali Yuga period.
Okay. Now, I noticed in the book here, now I want to take it kind of like a step at a time here, but I noticed in the book here you've done a lot of research into the modern UFO, contact stuff. And you mentioned before the last break that you picked up books by Bud Hopkins and Whitley Strieber. What did you find in the modern literature that was so closely related to the ancient texts?
Well, one main feature that I observed was that even though people superficially present the UFO phenomenon as being something involving high technology, still the powers that they attribute to the UFO entities correspond to what are called mystic cities or powers described in the ancient Sanskrit texts. So
are these similar to like the legends of, say, Atlantis or Lemuria?
Not really.
Okay.
In the Sanskrit text, there are particular psychical powers that an individual can acquire. Generally, this is done through yoga in the yoga system. It is also described, though, that there are certain races of beings within the universe who are born possessing these kinds of powers. So the particular constellation of powers or abilities which are said to be possessed by these UFO entities corresponds very closely with the powers and abilities that in the ancient Sanskrit texts are said to be possessed by certain races of beings within the universe.
Now, these beings, are they physical beings, physical bodies and that kind of thing?
Yes, they're physical beings.
Now, what you know, we talk about the ancient texts and everything. I remember several years ago there was a conference that was held. I believe it was in Italy to discuss the Vedic texts and now these things have been around for a long time within the Hindu culture, correct?
Yes.
So this is not anything really new, except for being new to the Western world.
Basically, yes, that's true.
Now, is there any evidence to, in other words, what makes these the Vedic texts believable? I should say, as opposed to being maybe a legend or mythology or that kind of thing.
Well, the Vedic texts, first of all, give a very systematic explanation of the subject matter that they're discussing. It's not simply a matter of a far-out story. But everything is explained very logically in detail. So that initially gives, I would say, a very scientific impression.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, the other point is that a great deal of material described in these texts can be corroborated by empirical observation.
Okay.
And in fact, that's one of the main points of the book that I wrote,
mm-hmm.
namely to show the empirical correlates of the ancient Vedic texts that you find in this modern-day UFO phenomenon.
What's the origin of the word Vedic?
Well, the word Veda in Sanskrit means knowledge. So these texts were originally called Veda, meaning they're the books of knowledge for this ancient culture.
Okay. Now, I noticed in your book you were very systematic in basically I call it dissecting the some of the prevalent UFO origination theories. There seems to be a lot of argument against evolution or a race of beings evolving in a neo-Darwinian type evolution. There seems to be a lot of argument against that, which I find to be pretty interesting. And can you explain some of that?
Yes. One of the basic points that I made in the book is that if it is actually true that we're being visited by human-like beings, who are nonetheless different from ourselves, but not at the same time quite similar to ourselves, then this tends to strongly cast doubt on the neo-Darwinian theory of evolution.
Okay.
And the reason can be briefly summed up as follows. Let us say that these beings originated on another planet. That is, their origin was independent of our own origin. And let us suppose, for the sake of argument, that they arose through a Darwinian evolutionary process. Well, in that case, they shouldn't at all resemble ourselves. This was argued by some prominent experts on the neo-Darwinian theory of evolution. For example, George Gaylord Simpson
mm-hmm.
Argued in great detail that the chances that you would get a human-like being arising independently on another planet are so slim that you can basically discount that possibility.
Now, Simpson is a pro-evolutionist, correct?
Yes, he's a major authority on evolution. He's very much a pro-evolutionist.
Okay, now, that, of course, using that basis for the theory, or using that basis, couldn't that basically state then, essentially, that these beings aren't real? That there's nothing to UFOs?
Well, in fact, that's what Simpson would argue. That's what he was arguing. But you see, you can turn the argument around, because you can say, if in fact there is evidence indicating that these beings are real, then that is evidence that goes against evolution. See, the way he was putting it was, he accepts evolution as real, therefore there could not be any humanoid beings visiting us from some other place.
Okay, now we're going to go to another break. When we come back, I want to get into that, because I think you have brought up a lot of good points that kind of basically negate that what we're talking about, and actually support the idea that there might be really something going on. 1-800-836-2009, 1-800-UFO-2009. It's a toll-free number, so give us a call. My guest is Richard Thompson, author of Alien Identities, and we're talking about the parallels between modern-day ufology and the ancient Vedic texts of India. So stay tuned. When we come back, we'll talk about abductions and the similarities between those and some of the texts that Richard has investigated. I'm Michael Corbin, and you're listening to the Paranet UFO Continuum. Grab a pen and get ready to copy down a computer address. It's an email address where you can reach the Paranet Information Services BBS through America Online. With America Online's Internet Gateway, you can send us mail and we can respond to you personally through your America Online screen name. With America Online's Usenet newsgroup tie-in, you can also access the 7 Paranet newsgroups dealing with UFOs, metaphysics, paranormal activity, and others. Learn about our upcoming shows and pose questions in advance. And if your question is selected, you'll get a free cassette copy of the show. You'll also find summaries of past shows. If you're not already a customer of America Online, call 1-800-827-6364 for more information. Now, here's that email address to reach us. It's paranet@aol.com or paranet@paranet.org. America Online and Paranet, a winning combination.
Paranet Information Services is your electronic window on the world of UFOs, accessible by computer and modem. Paranet keeps you up to date on the world pulse of ufology, with sighting reports, interesting findings, and general discussion on the mysterious UFO enigma. Paranet features one of the most comprehensive text file libraries in the world on the paranormal, available for a small online fee. So plug into power and knowledge through Paranet. The BBS number is available 24 hours a day. Call the data line at area 303-429-2713. That's 303-429-2713. Or for more information, contact Paranet Information Services at area 303-429-2654. That's 303-429-2654. Listening to the Paranet UFO Continuum. Whether or not you believe in UFOs, there's a lot about the subject you haven't heard. Stay tuned. Keep an open mind. call in and join the discussion. Once again, here's your host, Michael Corbin.
And our toll-free number is 1-800-836-2009, 1-800-UFO-2009. My guest is Richard Thompson, author of Alien Identities. Now, Richard, back to the subject of abductions. Now, actually, these two things are probably two of my favorite subjects, the ancient writings of not only the Hindus, but also Judeo-Christian and, Buddhist and all that, the different sects. The one thing I've always noticed about the abduction phenomena is the sexual content. And I notice here in your book on page 134, you've got here in case after case, there are reports of sexual interactions between human abductees and UFO entities. And you've got this thing broke down into two categories, where one, they appear to be experiments with human reproduction involving medical manipulations, and two, direct sexual relationships between abductees and their captors. Now, give us a little background on that research that you've done, and tell us where that went.
Well, as far as the question of the sexual element in UFO abductions are concerned, I observed that in the Vedic tradition, it is definitely stated that human beings have had sexual interrelations with other races of beings.
Of course, this is in
Excuse
a lot
me?
Of. I was going to say, this is the case in a lot of literature.
Yeah. Now, one thing I have not seen is a description of what appears to be medical intervention using different kinds of instruments. That is the scenario in which the person is placed on a table and various probes are inserted into the body and so forth. That I do not see in the ancient texts, but the sexual element is definitely there.
Now, would you say that it would be fair to assume, using the argument that you use in the book, that the alleged medical type examination might be just maybe either a screen memory or something that's steers away from what the actual motivation might be?
It's not clear exactly what is being done there, although it would appear to be a sort of new innovation.
You mean a new twist added to the thing?
Yeah, in contact between human beings and in other races, this idea of the use of medical technology seems to be a new element.
Okay, now, in the ancient text then, what was the motivation of the celestial beings? Was there any motivation to it, or was it just for enjoyment?
Well, that varies. In some cases, it is just for enjoyment.
Uh-huh.
In other cases, it was definitely to exploit the human beings.
In what way?
Well, there are categories. It is described in the Sanskrit text that there are certain categories of living beings who basically take energy from humans through this kind of contact. It's not so much actually sexual in nature, but they are stealing energy.
Okay, well, that's interesting. A couple shows back, we talked about Dr. Wilhelm Reich and this orgone energy. What kind of energy were they after? What kind of energy from the human beings were they after?
This would be on a subtle platform.
Okay.
Actually, Reich's orgone energy has been in many cases compared with prana.
Okay.
Which is the vital force as described in Sanskrit literature. And prana would be the kind of energy we'd be talking about here.
That's pretty wild. It's interesting. Okay, we're going to take a call. we've got Henna from Salt Lake City on our affiliate KCNR. Good evening, Henna. I guess maybe she there? Okay. We've lost Richard, too, apparently. Is that true? Okay, we're going to get him back on the line. While they're doing that, let me read some of this information here. We're talking about this sexual energy or the sexual theory about the content of the abduction reports. Jacques Vallée, and this is something that Richard has written, Jacques Vallée has argued that physical examinations performed in UFOs could not be strictly scientific in nature, since the human body can be examined and tissue samples can be taken without resorting to the traumatic methods experienced by abductees. This can be done by human doctors, and it certainly should be child's play for high-tech ufonauts. The sexual component of UFO abductions also suggests that they involve something other than objective scientific research. Genetic experiments could be carried out using sperm and ova collected without any awareness on the part of the individual, and direct sexual activity with abductees is certainly not required. So that's Jacques Vallée's impression of it, and also I believe it is Richard Thompson's. We got him back? We're still working. Okay, all right. Let me go a little bit further with this, too, because, you know, the other thing is that in Richard's argument, the aliens or the beings that are coming here apparently are very, very familiar with us. They are not, you know, in other words, they're not somebody that we have, they're not strangers. Apparently they've been very intimate with us and they've known about us for quite a long time. One comprehensible hypothesis is that the humanoids are real beings endowed with a sexual psychology similar to our own. According to this hypothesis, sexual manipulation of humans by these beings is at least partly due to their own sexual motives. This hypothesis can be kept general, and it allows for various interpretations of the controversial cases in which women were apparently shown their half-alien offspring. For example, they may literally have had such offspring, or this may be an illusion created in the abductees' minds by the entities. This hypothesis suggests that the humanoids have not evolved independently from humans in the Darwinian fashion. This is certainly implied if they are close enough to humans genetically to make crossbreeding attempts worthwhile. It is also indicated if the humanoids lack genetic compatibility with humans but nonetheless have a recognizable sexual psychology. The key term here is psychology. on a hypothetical planet where technology capacity evolves, would recognizable human-like psychology also be likely to evolve? I suspect that Dobzhansky would say no. Now, Dobzhansky was one of the other pro-evolutionists that Richard mentioned a minute ago. Independent evolution of humans and the humanoids is unlikely, and co-evolution of both forms on the Earth is ruled out by current evolutionary scenarios. If the humanoids are real beings, then it would seem that something non-Darwinian must be involved in their origins or in our own. Okay, we're going to go to break. We're going to get Richard back on. Apparently, we're having a little difficulty with the telephone system tonight, so bear with us, and we'll get to your calls. We've got a couple people on hold, and when we come back, we'll get to those. So stay tuned. 1-800-836-2009, 1-800-UFO-2009. That's a toll-free number. I'm Michael Corbin, and you're listening to the Paranet UFO Continuum.
The Paranet UFO Continuum is pleased to offer a number of exciting products. Cassette tapes of previous shows are available for $8 each, or 2 for $12, or 4 for $20. You can also order Paranet memberships and subscriptions to Continuum, Paranet's quarterly newsletter. Paranet, along with MICAP, the Multinational Investigations Cooperative on Aerial Phenomena, is pleased to offer a stunning black T-shirt with a background of galaxies, stars, and comets, and the Paranet and MICAP logos, along with the beautiful blue-green planet Earth. When you order from Paranet, you're helping to keep this program on the air. Call now to place an order or to get more information at 1-800-UFO-NET-1. That's 1-800-UFO-6381. Paranet, your window on the universe at 1-800-UFO-6381.
A lot of people think that to appreciate culture, you've got to enjoy things like this. Or this. In early Mesopotamia, evidence of the first audit exists in the form of lists on clay tablets. Well, a lot of people respond to those things like this. Fabulous. Other people go... Is it over? For those of you in the... category... You can't expect every cultural activity to appeal to everybody. That's why 23,000 arts and humanities groups called the National Cultural Alliance are offering you something everybody likes. A choice! For a free brochure about what's going on in your community, just call 800-NCA-8888. A little redundant? That's okay. And then you can get excited about something like this. Oh, yeah. William Tell It All.
The arts and humanities. There's something in it for you. The National Cultural Alliance and the Ad Council invite you to explore what's available in your community. Just call 800-NCA-888.
This is the Paranet UFO Continuum, a weekly program dedicated to the mysterious and fascinating world of UFOs. If you're interested in learning more about Paranet, the world's foremost communications network dealing with the UFO phenomena, call us at area 303-429-2654 or write to Box 172, Wheat Ridge, Colorado, 80034. Once again, here's your host, Michael Corbin.
And ladies and gentlemen, we have gremlins in the phone system, so that's what makes talk radio so much fun and so interesting. Okay, we're going to go to line two. We've got Henna in Salt Lake City. Good evening, Henna.
Hi.
Hi, sorry about that. What's your question for our guest, Richard Thompson?
You there?
Yes. Speak up just a little bit.
I was wondering about the legend of, what is his name? Is it Krishna? And he was blue?
Okay, did you hear that, Richard?
No, I'm sorry, I couldn't hear.
Well, she wanted to know about the legend of Krishna, and I didn't quite catch the last part there, Anna.
Excuse me, this is very, very dim, I'm sorry to say.
Okay, just a moment. Hannah, are you still there?
I'm here.
What was the last part of your question?
I had read somewhere that he, or one of the other so-called deities, they were blue.
Okay. All right, we're going to drop the line so we can get back to Richard, okay?
Yeah, I was wondering about that because I had encountered a blue.
Okay, very good. Okay, we're going to... Okay, Richard, she wanted to know about the legend of Krishna and how this related to it and about the fact that they were blue.
Well, according to the Vedic texts, you see, the Vedic texts are theistic. They have the conception that there's a supreme God who is the cause of all causes and the creator of all the different categories of living beings. Previously, we were discussing evolution and how the UFO phenomenon could be seen to provide an argument against evolution. The Vedic texts say that all of the different forms of living beings are descending from an original, eternally existing form of the Godhead, and Krishna is understood to be that original supreme being. So that's the role of Krishna in the Vedic literature.
Now, Hannah said something about the idea that the this race of beings was blue.
Well, Krishna is described as being blue like a monsoon rain cloud. That's just a very approximate description in terms of things that we're familiar with.
Okay.
But his form is made of pure consciousness. It is what is called Sat-Chit-Ananda. So it's not made of ordinary material elements.
Is it able to manifest a body?
Excuse me?
Is this force able to manifest a body?
Yes, Krishna has an eternally existing bodily form, but that form is not made of the material elements that we know. However, he can make himself visible within the material realm. That's the description in the Vedic literature.
Okay. Have you seen any of the, in your research, have you seen any of the abduction, modern abduction reports that indicated that any of the beings were blue?
Right offhand, the only one that I can think of was by Whitley Strieber,
okay.
who referred to meeting beings that were blue.
Okay. That's interesting. Thank you for your call, Hannah. Okay, we're going to take another call. We've got Brother John on KNRY in Monterey, California. Good evening, John.
Yes, good evening. I want to thank you very much for having Dr. Thompson on the program. I've read his book, Alien Identities, and I highly recommend it to anyone who really wants to understand what this whole phenomenon is about. My question is, I met Dr. Thompson the last in Chicago in the summer of 93, and at the time he was translating something called the Bhavishya Purana, ancient Indian text, and I was wondering how far along he is on the translation into English, and if he's discovered anything in the text related to the UFO phenomenon or prophecy in general, specifically that there is a wave of light coming towards the planet. Okay?
Okay. Did you hear that, Richard? Richard?
Yes?
Were you able to hear him?
No, I couldn't hear him at all.
I apologize. We're having some kind of a difficulty with our phone system here tonight. He wanted to know, he said he met you in 93 in Chicago at the time you were translating the Bhavishya Purana. He wanted to know if there had been anything forthcoming on that and something to having to do with a wave of light that was coming toward the planet.
No, I don't know anything about a wave of light. I was looking into the Bhavishya Purana text.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing I could think of to mention right offhand about that is that the text described different categories of human-like beings that will be living on Earth over the next 432,000 years. So, briefly speaking, it's interesting that in that text it is described that humans of our particular type will not be living on the Earth for that entire period.
Mm-hmm. So I would.
There will be other races of human-like beings living here during some of that time,
okay.
according to the Bhavishya Purana.
Okay. Now, while we were at break, or before we went to break the last time when we had the glitch with the phone problem, we were talking about the sexual content, and you were going to explain to us, how that could possibly relate to the idea that these beings are somehow more compatible to us than we might believe.
Well, of course, if it is possible for viable offspring to be produced by mating between a human being and a being from some other humanoid type, then that would seem to indicate that there must be genetic compatibility there.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, one argument could be made is that the genetic incompatibility could be overcome using technology.
Oh.
However, if the genetic systems were radically different, it would practically be not worth the effort to try to overcome the resulting incompatibility. It would just be like getting computer systems invented in completely different countries to communicate with one another.
That would be one of the arguments I would have, too, against the idea that this is a medical-type genetic experimentation on their part. I just don't see the logic in it at all.
Yes, according to the Vedic tradition, the different categories of human-like beings in the universe, all these different races of beings are essentially related to one another. And in fact, they descend from common ancestry.
Now, let me ask you this, when you're talking about that, where do we fit into the scheme of things as human beings? Are we toys to these people, or are they essentially our forefathers or that kind of thing?
Are we what to these people? I'm sorry.
Are we toys or objects to these people? Are they our forefathers? Do they have something to do with our being put here?
Well, some of them do have a role in our being placed here. There are many different categories of living beings in the universe, according to the Vedic literature. Some of them have a governing role within the universe. Others are just private citizens in various categories. So, the human race, it is described in Vedic literature, is specifically designed to provide experiences leading to spiritual advancement. That is, the whole purpose of the human experience is to advance in spiritual consciousness. There are other races also which have that basic purpose. There are still others which are basically, you might say, celestial playboys. They live a very opulent life. They have all kinds of very advanced technology. And their basic orientation is to enjoy themselves.
Okay.
Still others which are essentially inimical, and sometimes they prey upon humans to take energy from them, as I was describing before.
Sounds kind of scary. We're going to go to break. When we come back, we're going to wrap the show and find out how to get a copy of this book. It's a very interesting book. My guest is Richard Thompson. Alien Identities is the book he has authored, and it's a very interesting book into the ancient insights into modern UFO phenomena. We'll be right back after this break. I'm Michael Corbin, and you're listening to the Paranet UFO Continuum.
Get the latest UFO news delivered right to your door with Continuum, the official quarterly publication of Paranet Information Services. Continuum offers a serious look at the world of ufology through hard news reports and interesting and provocative interviews with leading ufologists and investigators. There's a source and resource section to help you locate information on UFOs, plus much, much more. Each issue is also packed with information from the Paranet Information Services International Communications Network. So be informed with this comprehensive publication. Subscribe now and receive 5 issues for the price of 4. Send check or money order for $18 to Continuum, Box 172, Wheat Ridge, Colorado, 80034. That's Continuum, Box 172, Wheat Ridge, Colorado, 80034. Do it now.
Pilots, when you fly, you need convenient, accurate information for safe flight and landing operations, as well as local businesses that provide you with the services and treatment you deserve. The Skyway Publications Airport Directory and Entertainment Guides are what you need. These are free, pocket-sized guides giving you information about large and small airports all over the country. Information like radio frequencies, runway systems, coordinates, and taxiways, as well as fuel and aircraft services provided at the airport, and local businesses catering to private pilots. It's yours free. Ask the fixed base operator at your favorite stops to carry the Skyway Airport Directory and Entertainment Guides, or call area 303-669-1800. Skyway Publications, your ticket to safer, cheaper, and more convenient flight. Talk to the FBO at your favorite destinations, or call Skyway Publications at area 303-669-1800.
UFOs for real, or are they just fiction? To find out, stay with us for more of the Paranet UFO Continuum with your host, Michael Corbin.
And my guest is Richard Thompson, author of Alien Identities. And while we were off the air, we got a call. Richard, I have a question to ask you. We were talking a minute ago about the Bhavishya Purana. The caller wanted to know, are you close to publishing it? And will the first time it's published be in English?
No, I'm not close to publishing any translation of the Bhavishya Purana. That would be a major scholarly task. I do believe that a publication is coming out and will be published by Motilal Banarsi Das, which is a Indological publisher. I'm not sure about the date, but I'm eager to get a copy myself.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. To wrap the program, I'd like to hear, you know, your bottom line on this, and you know, what's planned in the future. Have you got any other books regarding this subject planned?
Well, yes. My basically the theme of my book is that there are very strong parallels between the modern UFO phenomenon and certain aspects of the civilizations within the universe described in the Vedic literature. And I propose that these parallels are there because both the UFO phenomenon and the Vedic literature are telling us something about actual reality.
Do you think something's on its way, or do you think something's going to be forthcoming in the near future?
Well, I am working on another book. In the Alien Identities book, I drew parallels between, of course, the ancient Sanskrit texts and the modern UFO phenomenon. I also wanted to look at modern-day experiences that people report in India.
Okay.
Because there are what I call traditional encounter cases. That is, cases where people encounter different kinds of beings, but unlike the modern UFO reports, these beings are reported and experienced within a traditional context. For example, people meet different demigods and so on.
Okay. Sounds like a very interesting book. In about 30 seconds or less, wrap up for us. Give us an idea of how we can get in touch with you or get a copy of this book. It is a very interesting book.
Yes. Orders for the book can be obtained by calling area code 209-337-2828, or there's a fax number, 209-337-2354. And this is Govardhan Hill Publishing, that's our publisher, P.O. Box 52, Badger, California, 93603.
Okay. And I want to thank you very much for bearing with us on the phone difficulties tonight, and we've enjoyed having you as a guest. This is all very, very interesting, and unfortunately an hour just isn't quite enough time to cover the depth that you've gone in this, and I want to thank you for your valuable contribution to the field. And like I said, it's going to act as a reference guide for me because I found it so systematic and so logical and very well put together. So thank you again, and till next week, I'm Michael Corbin, and I'm telling you to keep your eyes on the skies. Good night.